Please be seated.
Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. It's great to see everybody. So just a few intimations before we get started this morning. Our Rainforest Cafe, for those of you who aren't aware that we have a cafe running, it will be on after worship if anybody wants to go down for a cup of tea and some lunch. It's good always for a wee blether. We have our gift service next Sunday. All the donations are going to the Salvation Army, so June will be here to collect them on their behalf. And we have a reflection service next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. For anybody who finds this time difficult or is missing a loved one, we've got wee invitations at the back for anybody that would be interested in coming along. So if you're interested, or you can share it with anyone. And our Christmas Glow event, it lasts about an hour, and it's just a kind of quiet, peaceful time listening to some music and some reflections about the Christmas message. If anybody's interested, Karen's details are on the wee leaflet that's at the back if you would like to come along and experience that. It's a really worthwhile experience. And as all our Christmas activities are really kind of kicking off now. Nativity service is on the 21st. We're all looking forward to that. It's always an adventure. And our groups now are starting to close off for the Christmas period. I think mainly music. This is the last session on Tuesday. Is that right, Ellen? Yes. So last mainly music this week. And Planet Earth Club is on this Tuesday, and that'll be it finished as well. But everything else is on your ordinary service. Is there anything else that I've missed? I don't think so. I think that's everything. So thank you.
Good morning from me as well. I don't usually preach here in Forth. I'm in Bigger. I'm the minister in Bigger. And so I don't really know all your traditions, how you do things. But I see that you light the Advent candles. And we're going to do that first off. Do you know what Advent means? What does Advent mean? What's that?
The coming days.
The coming days. Do you have an Advent calendar at home?
Yeah.
Do you? Is it a chocolate one? Yeah. I've got one too. Oh, you've got two. Very good. But this is an Advent wreath. And this is counting down the weeks. You know, your Advent calendar, you count down the days until Christmas. How many days from the beginning of Advent to Christmas? How many days on that Advent calendar? 25. Yeah, 25. And how many weeks in Advent?
Four.
There you go. And you lit a candle last week. Each of the candles stands for something. And who lit the candle last week? Christine lit it. And what does that candle that you lit last week represent? Do you remember?
Hope.
We lit the candle for hope. So let's light a candle for hope. Do we have a... Oh, there's the matches. Who's going to help me light? Come on. Are you good at lighting matches? Yeah.
Oh, wait.
You light the candle for hope. There you go. Whoops. Another one. Gently now. There you go. Excellent. That's the candle for hope. And this week, we move on to our next candle. Blow that out. Do you want to come and help me? You can just light that from that other candle. And the candle this week is the candle that represents peace. So light that candle. There you go. We've got two candles. Two more left before... Oh, you blew it out. Try it again. There you go. Now move the match away. Oh. Ooh, that one doesn't want to light. Ooh, you're going to burn your fingers. Okay, we're having technical difficulties here. There we go. Well done, thank you. The candle that represents peace. What does peace mean? Yes.
Very, very happy.
Very, very happy. That is a good definition of peace. Usually when we think of peace, we think of the absence of war. It's the opposite of war, right? But actually, in the Bible, peace is more than just not having war. Peace is also that's something that happens in your heart. It's about happiness, like you said. I was a missionary in Thailand for 25 years. So I had to learn the Thai language. And in the Thai language, there are more than one word for peace. I think just having one word isn't good enough. We need more than one word. But the word that you find in the Bible for peace, in the Thai Bible, is Santi Sukh. Santi means peace and Sukh means happiness. So peaceful happiness is what we're looking for. And that's what Jesus promises. When Jesus was coming into the world, he was coming as the Prince of Peace. And Jesus wants peace in our world. Not just peace, the absence of war, but also peace, happiness in our hearts. Because you can't really have absence of war if you've got conflict in your heart. You need both. You need peace inside and peace outside as well. Let's pray for our peace candle now. God of peace, as we light that second Advent candle that represents peace, and may your peace fill our hearts and our world. Help us to be peacemakers in our relationships, in our community, and in our world, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a Christmas carol now, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And if you've got the hymn book, it's number 301. Otherwise, the words will be on the screen. So let's stand and sing together. Please be seated. Not only is it the second Sunday in Advent, but we gather this morning for a special day to mark the journey of these two little ones, Ailey and Faye. Let us hear the word of God as found in Matthew's Gospel. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead, and he comes to his disciples, and he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And he says to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises to be with us to the end of the age, we baptize those whom God has called. And in baptism, God claims us and he seals us and he shows us that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection from the dead. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice in the world. So let us all remember with joy our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament for Faye and Ailey this morning, together with their families and friends. So can you come forward as I call you? Jamie and Sarah, could you come forward? I'll stand over here. We're going to get rather crowded up here. And folks, I'd like to present to you on behalf of the session here at 4th St. Paul's, Jamie and Sarah Savage. Come and look at everybody. Let them see your faces. And Jacob and Callan. So got it the right way around. You're Jacob, right? Okay. Come up here. Turn around so people can see you. These are Ailey's big brothers, and they're going to take care of her, aren't they? Jacob, you're going to take care of your little sister. You better. And they come with Rebecca King. Is Rebecca here? Very good. And Jonah Hart, and Stephanie Lewis. All three of these want to dedicate themselves to being godparents for Ailey, looking after her as she makes this journey in life. I'd also like to present to you another family, Douglas and Rachel Frame. Do you want to come and stand up here as well? Maybe come to this side. And they bring their baby, Faye, to be baptized today. Look at these lovely dresses these girls are wearing. And this is Ailey, right? So there's an Ailey here and an Ailey here. I'm going to get confused. Don't blame me. And they also come with Susan, who wants to dedicate herself to being Faye's godparent. Okay. Now, Jamie and Sarah, Douglas and Rachel, beloved of God. You stand before us having brought these children to receive the sacrament of baptism. And I ask you, therefore, before God and Christ Church, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to instruct Ailey and Faye in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, to pray for each of them, to teach them to pray, and to train them in Christ's way by your example, through worship, and in the nurture of this congregation? You do good. Will the congregation now please stand? Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Ailey and Faye by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church? And the answer is we do. We do. Very good. You may be seated. Through baptism, we enter the covenant that God has established. And in that covenant, God gives new life. We are guarded from evil and nurtured by the love of God and of God's people. We are all called to embrace that covenant. And though Ailey and Faye are still too young to do that for themselves, today in faith we do it for them, in the hope that one day each of them will come to a fullness of the knowledge of God. Okay, now which one am I taking here? Is this Ailey? This is Ailey. And she's asleep. I'm going to wake her up with some cold water. Okay. Ailey. Still asleep. Ailey. What's Ailey's full name?
Ailey Jane Savage,
I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Woo!
And I'll hand her back. No, she's not going to cry. She's still asleep. Mommy gave her some medicine before you came out. Faye is a bit more lively.
But she's smiling. She's always smiling. Thank you.
Now, what's Faye's full name? Faye Jennifer Frain. Okay.
Why did you put cold water in here? It should be warm.
Faye Jennifer Frain, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here, use some water to slick your hair back. Yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
Please stand again as we welcome Ailey and Faye into the family of God, and we're going to sing our blessing song, and it'll come up on the screen. We might have to do it a couple of times. I'm going to process the children around the church one at a time. I'm not going to do both. Okay, let's sing together our blessing. Wonderful. I have some presentations for you. There is some flowers. You could take that for Haley. And you take that for Faye. You're welcome. Oh, I forgot. That's Lewis, the big brother. Well, who's the Ailey? All right. We're back and forth. There is. That's for you. And you can give those out to the godparents. And there you go.
Thank you very much.
Now, let me pray. Let us pray. You can be seated in the congregation. You guys remain standing here. I want to pray for your families and for these two little ones as well. Let us pray together. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace and word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. We ask you to guide and guard Ailey and Faye all their days. May your love hold them, your truth guide them, your joy delight each of them. May they both grow to know you as their Lord and Savior, as their parents and this congregation nurture them and direct their steps to you. Bless their parents, Jamie and Sarah, Douglas and Rachel, that they may grow up in secure and happy homes. Give to these families wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. All righty, you may be seated, and we're all going to sing once again another Christmas carol, maybe one that you're not so familiar with. It's called the Calypso Carol. It's got a calypso beat, so I want to see you moving to this one, all right? And after we sing, kids, you can go off to Sunday Club. Is it called Sunday Club? It's called Jigsaw. Jigsaw. Okay, and anyone else who wants to go too? Yeah, children. Not adults. Adults have to stay here. See him lying in a bed of straw. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
You're awake now. Yes. You missed the best part.
I know. You had it.
I don't know if you know how our church, Church of Scotland, works, Presbyterian Church, but we have elders who help to keep things on the rails. And I, for one, really appreciate the elders in our church here in Fort St. Paul's. And some of them have been working tirelessly for years and years and years. And we just want to acknowledge two this morning who have been working and serving and have been ordained as elders for 34 years between them. They were ordained on the 1st of December 1991, and that's Catherine McGork and Elma Kahn. So Elma and Catherine, could you come and get your certificate? This Sunday, although we are still in Advent, this time of waiting before Christmas, I'd like for us to jump ahead a number of years to a different scene altogether in our reflections on Scripture this morning. Jesus, at the age of 12, together with Joseph and Mary, after having escaped to Egypt for a number of years, is now settled back in Nazareth, his parents' hometown. Nazareth is located some 91 miles from Jerusalem, the capital, in a backwater that the ruling powers who had earlier tried to kill Jesus didn't much worry about or consider. So he was a bit incognito in this little village. And this passage gives us a picture of a cozy, ordinary, domestic situation. Jesus' childhood, described here in the passage we're about to read, it may remind you of your own childhood. Or it may remind you of the childhood that you longed for but never had. Jesus' family followed traditions. And we're told by the people who study these things that following traditions is part of what it means to have a good functioning family. This family habitually joined in the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover. And although the scriptures don't say, they probably had a Sabbath meal together every Friday as a family. And they attended prayers and the study of Scripture at the local synagogue, maybe equivalent to their local church. Joseph and Mary and Jesus were part of a close-knit community. And in contrast to the fear and danger that took them to Egypt earlier on, in Nazareth, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary were secure. They felt so safe that Joseph and Mary could leave Jesus unattended in the company of neighbors and relatives for several days without any consideration. Jesus himself, I am sure, felt safe in the love and in the care of a mom and dad who cherished him. And not only was his life safe, but I bet you that it was fun too. Jesus probably had lots of other children to play with there in Nazareth. And what could be more fun than an annual trip to the big city described in the passage? Walking several days together with your pals, making discoveries and meeting challenges, playing soldiers and brigands along the way, stopping in the evening to set up camp together, and eating with aunts and uncles, granddads and grandmas and friends, hearing stories around the campfire and looking forward to that spectacle of the Passover celebrations, the sight of the awesome temple there in Jerusalem and the symbol-laden feast that was to come. Something, however, happens at the Passover festival in Jesus' 12th year. It causes Jesus' parents anxiety and wonder and gives us a glimpse into who Jesus would become as time went by. So let's listen as you're going to be reading for us this morning. Please come and read for us.
Our reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, he went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But this mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen.
Thank you. Let's pray. Let's pray as we turn to reflect on God's word. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to help us understand, not just with our heads, but with our hearts and with our lives as well. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we go on to... Do you have my pictures? Did we get my pictures? There we go. There's loads to think about with this passage that we're looking at this morning, but our time is short. So I'd like us to concentrate on two of the main characters that we find here. Could you just click that, please? There we go. Mary and Joseph, the parents in the story, the parents of Jesus. Mary and Joseph. What does God have to say about them through the narrative that Luke is telling us? How might their experience help us? Help us as some of us are parents, as many of us, all of us, live in relationships where we are required to nurture and care for other people. And as all of us are called to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Contrary to what you might think from reading this story, Mary and Joseph were in fact very good parents. You may think that they were quite neglectful because they went halfway home before they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. Mary and Joseph were highly qualified to be the parents of Jesus. At least they were highly qualified in God's eyes. God, in fact, chose Mary and Joseph for this job. Joseph, Scripture tells us, was righteous, and Mary was favored by God. Mary and Joseph cherished their firstborn child, who was given to them in exceptional circumstances. Mary wanted him to be safe. Joseph wanted him, as was normal back then, to follow in his footsteps. But this child did not belong exclusively to Mary and Joseph. This child had another father, and a heavenly father. This child had another father who loved him and who had a plan for him. Indeed, every child has another father, that same heavenly father. Mary and Joseph knew about this other father even before Jesus was born. But maybe like all of us, Mary and Joseph were tending to forget that God too was looking after their child. Besides keeping children secure and helping guide them into the future, a big part of parenting is learning to let go. And this story that we find here in Luke's gospel, I think, is part of a long lesson that both Joseph and Mary, but mostly Mary, had to learn. You see, we don't know what became of Joseph. This is the last time in the gospels that we hear about him. But Mary will appear several times in the gospel record to come. And every time that Mary makes an appearance, Mary has to deal with this calling to let go as a parent. You don't need to let go now. But that's our calling, to let go. I wonder if you noticed those stories where Mary is challenged in her parental vocation. Jesus is at a wedding in Cana of Galilee there in John chapter 2. His mother is there too. Mary's there too. She tries to give him directions, and he seems to rebuke her harshly. Then he goes on to perform his first miracle. Another time later in his life, people were saying that he was out of his mind. There in Mark chapter 3, At that point, he is attracting all the wrong kinds of attention, and Mary hears about it, and she's concerned for her son. She remembers what happened when Herod the king set his sights on him when he was just an infant. She's worried about him. She comes with Jesus' brothers to where he is, and she tries to extricate him from the situation, to take him home. He turns her and her other sons away, again, rather harshly. Then there's the final time before Jesus dies. Jesus is on the cross, and he sees his mother Mary in distress. And he tells her to look on John, his friend and disciple, as her son from now on. And he asks John to look after Mary. Let me go as your son and look after this other friend, he seems to be saying. What's going on here? And what is God trying to tell us about this relationship between Mary and Joseph and their son in the passage that we're looking at this morning here in Luke? Well, I think there are two lessons here. Can we get the next slide up, please? Two lessons. There's a lesson for parents, and indeed for anyone who is responsible for nurturing, mentoring, or indeed discipling other people. And there is also a lesson for anyone who is a follower of Jesus. Next slide, thank you. Firstly, the lesson for parents, nurturers, mentors, disciple makers, teachers. We all have an awesome task. Parenting, although it is hard, gives life. It gives life to those who parent and mentor and nurture, as well as those who receive this special kind of care. And parenting, nurturing, discipling is a process. It evolves over time. At first, as parents, we are called to guide and influence, not to control or indoctrinate. That's a distortion of the calling. Although it's easy to fall into that distortion. We're called to influence and guide. And our ultimate goal, however, is for our child or the person we're mentoring, teaching, or discipling to become independent. Our goal is for them to make decisions, good or bad decisions, hopefully good ones, on their own. That's a basic premise to this kind of relationship. As Christians, however, we have a goal that is even one step higher. Our goal is not just that the child, the mentored, or the disciple becomes a free spirit. Our goal is not simply independence for them, but it's that those in our care mature into dependence on God. Could you click there, please? And to let God. Letting go and letting God. This gradual letting go and letting God is what I believe we see in the life of Jesus and his parents, beginning in the passage this morning. Mary and Joseph have played a role of getting Jesus to this place through the first 12 years of his life. And their calling now is for them to little by little to step out of the way. not completely, mind you, but little by little. Mary, even though she was highly favored, didn't find this bit of the parental calling easy. And neither do most of us, no matter how favored we are. Parenting, mentoring, teaching, discipling requires a lot of wisdom from us. But praise God, wisdom is exactly what God promises to give us when we ask for it. Could you click? Thank you. I've been considering this process of stepping back in these kinds of relationships. I was chatting to some parents just the other day. Parents who have a son who has mental health issues and issues of substance abuse. And I could see and hear in their conversation that they were struggling with this letting go. See, their son is in his 30s now. But even so, it is so, so difficult to see him make the kinds of decisions he was making and is making. But what happens here is that as we take a step back in these kinds of relationships, it opens up the possibility and the space for God to enter in, for that other father to come into the relationship. It's a matter of not just parenting technique, but a matter of faith for us to allow God's space in these relationships and in the life of the other person. Now, the second lesson. What does our passage, and specifically the bit about Mary and Joseph, have to say to all of us who are followers of Jesus, whether we are parents or children, mentors or those who are mentored, teachers or students? Well, this lesson, this second lesson, comes in the form of a question. Question that Jesus poses to Mary and Joseph there in verse 49. Why were you searching for me? He asks. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? In the story, after losing him, Joseph and Mary look everywhere for Jesus. They spend 3 days in the city searching for him. And you know, Jerusalem wasn't a very big place in those days. It says they searched everywhere. But they didn't look in the one place where, if they had remembered who this child was, who the angels, the shepherds, and the magi had told them that he was, if they had remembered, they would have known to seek him in his father's house. Why were you searching for me in all those other places? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? This is a question I find Jesus asking me too. Especially as I consider where I put my energy and my concerns from day to day. Where am I investing my time and energy? Where am I searching? Where am I searching for meaning and purpose? Where am I searching for Jesus? It's also a question that Jesus asked me about my prayer life. What do my prayer requests look like? Are they shaped by what I think will be good for myself and for others that I care about? Are my prayers shaped by what I want first and foremost? Or am I seeking Jesus in his Father's house? Am I asking him to move according to his will, not mine, for his kingdom, not mine, in his time, not mine? Am I remembering to let that line in the Lord's Prayer that we pray every Sunday shape all my prayers? Your will be done, your kingdom come. Can we pray together now? Lord, we are parents, we are elders, we are teachers, we are husbands and wives, grandparents, friends and fellow church members. We all have people we care for, people we are responsible for. And to be honest, sometimes we feel out of our depth. We want these others for whom we care to flourish. We want our children to flourish. We want to be happy and we want them to be happy. Our prayers for ourselves and them are numerous and heartfelt. But sometimes they don't seem to be getting anywhere. I pray for happiness, but I'm not any happier. And these for whom I pray aren't any happier. So what if happiness was not the goal? At least not the ultimate goal. Lord, what if your kingdom and your righteousness was what we should have been aiming for all this time? Lord, help me, help us to seek you first and to seek your kingdom first. Help me to make my relationship with you as of primary importance. Help me to trust that when I do that, all these things will be added, that you will bring about happiness. You will make us fulfilled. You will make us flourish. You will give us your kingdom. And can we pray together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. If this morning you are struggling with any relationships with others, if you're struggling with your relationship with God, if you are trying your best in this life and you're finding it just doesn't seem to be enough, that you just can't do it on your own, the invitation that Jesus extends to you is to come to him and to trust in him, to come to him and relax and rest in him and in his care for you. And I believe that doing so, relaxing and resting and trusting in him, will transform your life, not just for today, but for eternity. Jesus promises to walk with us if we will trust him as our Lord and Savior. And if you'd like to come and speak with me about anything that you have heard this morning, if you feel that God has been speaking to you in any way, then I invite you to come and talk to me after the service. I don't bite. And I'd like to pray for you and with you if you'd like me to. We're going to sing our final hymn now. It's another one, another carol that we're not so familiar with. It was On a Starry Night. I call it the cowboy carol. It sounds a bit like a cowboy song. And we're going to have our offering while we're singing this. So let's stand and sing together. It was On a Starry Night. Let's receive God's blessing. Brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all evermore.
Thank you.